Caskey hits this one deep to left field. This has a chance. This ball is gone. It's a walk-off home run.
Now Caleb driving left side. Alley-oop to Nelson. Throws it down with two hands.
Raiders make the handoff. Keeps it running left. He's across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. Jalen Reiner to the house.
Welcome to the Second to None podcast. The A-State Podcast, presented by First National Bank and Cavanaugh Auto Group. Now, here's Matt Stoltz and Brad Bobo.
Coming up, football off to a 2-0 start. We'll recap the comeback victory over Tulsa. Volleyball, also with a winning weekend. Lots of good stuff to talk about there. And how about the soccer team? They get it done on the road this past Sunday. We'll talk about all that good stuff, but that's not all the good news coming out of A-State Athletics this past week. Some big news coming out of the baseball program. The Board of Trustees approving the installation of a new turf playing surface at Tomlinson Stadium. And they announced that the field will now be named Slayton Family Field in honor of the Slayton Family Foundation. Joining us to talk about it, A-State Hall of Honor member Joe Slayton. How you doing, Joe?
I'm good, Matt. Thank you so much.
First off, I'm going to start with this. Thank you.
Yeah.
Because I think most A-State fans know this is long overdue. And when you saw the renderings and you saw the big red and white letters that had Slayton Family Field on both baselines, what was your reaction?
Well, having been here since 1975, you know, there's so many things in every sport that it's kind of like we've got to get rid of that. We've got to improve that. You know, football, basketball, and one by one, each sport has done that. Baseball has not done that since I've been here. Same field. When I met with Brandon with the athletic department and then Jeff, it was very clear that we're in, what, the third or fourth most competitive baseball league in America. And so, but we're still trying to paddle around in the old murky waters. And so to have a chance to really make an impact, we had talked about a few other projects that the foundation might be able to help with. And so I go back to my family and we would present those ideas and they just did not measure up to the impact we wanted to make as a foundation. But this one did because it had, you start the wheel going. Once this starts going, it turns into a beautiful project. The other ones were great, needed to be done. But this one has a bigger, broader impact. The name on the field's beautiful. It's going to be something I hope my grandkids and family gets to be proud of for years and years to come. But to be part of something this magnitude for my university, it makes us pretty proud.
And it's pretty cool to not just get it done, but and you already kind of touched on the why, which sort of eliminates the question. But it's neat that, you know, a guy who came here and, you know, as a football player, right? Has the ability, the vision to be able to step back from not look just through the scope of the sport you played and said, hey, this is a great need for my university and the department.
Yeah. So I think that sort of where my mind is, and I know my family is that, yeah, I play football, but members of my family got their degrees here. And so I looked at it as a university and obviously from the sports side, which is a big advertising arm for the university. And so it was more of the biggest need at the time. Football still has some big needs, but this one here, there's no bigger need in our sports portfolio than the baseball field.
Was there anything you needed to hear, anything you needed to see before you made this commitment? Obviously, we've got a new baseball coach in Mike Silva. He's made a great impression on a lot of people in a short amount of time. Did you talk with him before you did this?
No, I did not. And changing head coaches was not anything that I was a part of and didn't even have an opinion on that. A lot of people do. So it just happened in the middle of all this, and it seemed to be one of the steps that the leaders felt like was part of good decisions to go to the next level. And so I was happy about that, that it's not just, oh, we got a new surface. It's all part of a bigger plan.
You've made a couple references to your family, and we've said that it's going to be Slayton Family Field, and you know, to get this through the Slayton Family Foundation. So tell us about that. I guess the easiest question is, what's the Slayton Family Foundation?
Well, a couple of years ago, I had the great fortune to start a foundation that where we could be part mainly of this community. We're not limited to that in our bylaws, you know, in our dreams, but it will focus on this community. And it takes a big effort not to select everything that's going to have an impact on the university. We really define the things that we want to have impact with the most vulnerable. So with the charities out there, the children that are facing all kinds of challenges for their family, we get involved in that. Of course, St. Jude's, that's not in the community, but it sort of is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that fits right on what we're trying to do. So down the list, four or five levels below, is supporting this university. Now, I understand, as you guys do, that you touch some people, who you bring people here that otherwise may not have come here, like myself, through football. But I hang around here, so to speak. I moved all over the place, but I was always coming back here, and am able to help the university. So if we can have more people like that come in because of this broader reach, it'll probably have more effect than just one project that we can help.
Well, you touched on something that, I mean, a lot of times, obviously, we're talking about sports here every week on this thing, and really just looking at it through that lens, but it was not lost on me, the comment you made earlier, that facilities like this, and baseball being competitive in a league like the Sun Belt, is a recruiting tool, not for athletics, but athletics is a recruiting tool for students to Arkansas State University.
That's right.
Because if your athletics are good, it goes back to this whole front porch model. People say that, you know, athletics is the front porch of the university. It's kind of what people use a lot of times to base their first impression about a school on.
They do. But the masses, and it happens that a lot of big schools are what they are because of their, not solely, but in a big part because of their athletic success. We can really go to the next level with a full, successful portfolio of all sports. We could really take this to the next level. I know that's a hyperbole, maybe,
no,
but it's there to get.
And I'll take that one step further because, and this is a conversation we've had with Jeff Purinton before, I forget the number, but what is it, 20, 30,000 cars a day go down Red Wolf Boulevard. And Joe, you've seen it over the years evolve. That football stadium looks incredible. One of the better looking football stadiums you'll see anywhere. You see the Embassy Suites now and just how beautiful that is driving down Red Wolf Boulevard. Well, that baseball stadium has been a little bit of an eyesore. And you talk about the front porch and people's first impression driving by campus. This has a chance now to make an impact.
Right. Can you imagine having a son or being a high school baseball player, junior high, and you're driving to the football game and you say, wow, is that their baseball stadium? You know, all of a sudden that's on your list.
Yeah.
And this may be kids have been thinking about Ole Miss and some of the other schools around, but we need to get those kids. I was talking to one of the assistant baseball coaches last night, just happened across this guy. I really like him. And he is so fired up about the new level they're going. He's been around. He played here and he went away, but now he's coaching here. And just to be around how it's contagious, I want to be around a program like that. I really believe this area is baseball hungry. We love baseball. And they'll get out and watch these games. We give them a good scene and a good product.
Well, actually, we saw that a little bit. You know, and I'll even admit to probably being surprised by how fast people bought in last year. Like, it started 8-0 and had that, you know, what felt like a kind of random Tuesday night against UCA. And all of a sudden you got, you know, 1,100 people there. And like,
right.
Okay, I see what's up here.
Yeah.
All right. So I want to let people know why A-State is so close to your heart. And you played here in the late 70s, 1976 to 79. You were a two-time all-conference punter, named in 2014 to the all-centennial team as the punter. That had to be a great honor for you. And then 3 years ago, really neat to see you go into the Hall of Honor. So what's it been like, just not only with those 4 years playing football here, but being able to stay connected the way you have?
It's been a big part of my and my family's life. It all started when I came down here from Missouri. I'm from the Pocahontas area, from Pocahontas, and then surrounding areas, my relatives. And so I have a lot of family down here. So choosing Arkansas State had a lot to do with that. And so I came down here, and all of a sudden, it's off and running. My dad went to high school with Bill Templeton in Pocahontas.
In Pocahontas,
so that was a connection. Gary Withrow recruited me, and so it just all worked. It was tough off the start because during the 75 undefeated season, I was on the freshman squad and got hurt in practice, just eliminated my knee in a lot of ways. And so I thought I was done. Hmm. So to come back from that, and fortunately I was a tight end, but fortunately I was also a punter that they really didn't know about.
Huh.
All of a sudden, I'm coming back in the spring, and they see me over there, and they knew I wouldn't have any contact, but they saw me punting. And, of course, we needed one after Dan Mullen graduated, did such a great job. So I was fortunate to be able to just kick the football, and I was a kind of a blue-collar guy. That's what's surprising about these accolades. I was just, you know, Bull or Coach Davidson or Lacewell, they needed a 30-yard pooch kick. I'm the guy. You know, I never thought about, you know, booming for an average. I'm just a tight end that can kick.
Now,
a tight end that can kick. And became a Hall of Honor member.
He says that, if you know, well, if they needed a pooch punt. Like, but he also had an 80-yard punt in his career.
Two
as well.
Of them, right?
I had two. Okay, one of them, you got to have a lot of wind to go 80. I'm telling you, it was against Lamar, and it was a big win. But the other one was Wyoming, and there was ice on the field. And if you didn't fall down before your foot hit the ball, it's probably going to hit the ground and scoot 100 yards. So if anybody's thinking these things were beautiful punts that went 80 yards, I wish.
But you had a 54-yard average for a season, which I can't remember ever seeing a punter with that kind of an average.
I can just think so many fluke. Like, there was a play against Southwest Louisiana. It was like a televised game. And back then, it was so rare. You know, ABC was in town. I don't know. The snap went right through my hands to the ground. And here are these big guys coming on. I picked it up, juked them, ran out. And on the run, I kicked one like 60-something yards, downed it on the one-yard line. On paper, that seems like a really good punter. I was scared to death.
Well, it certainly worked out for you. And it was an honor being up there that night. You went into the Hall of Honor. And I'll argue that it was probably the most star-studded Hall of Honor class ever 3 years ago.
I mean, who was I in that group?
Well, you were right there with them, because you're one of three football players that night, and the two others happened to be Ryan Applin and DeMario Davis.
Yeah, not bad.
And we also had Sharika Nelvis and Todd Baumgartner go in that night, and Gina Bowman was an honorary inductee into the Hall of Honor. But man, what a night that was.
Unbelievable. Just the group alone. But then set aside Gina Bowman, starting my freshman year, she was interviewing me when I was on crutches, thinking about going home. And she had a lot to do with me hanging around. Now, she was also talking to Withrow on the side, and he was telling her things I ought to hear. But Gina was so special to me and such a good friend through the years. And the glue for all of us players back in the 70s was Gina and Ron Carroll.
Yeah.
And so to go in with Gina, oh, man, that was just I got a lot of pictures with her.
Obviously, you know, football got you here. You came to do that, and we talked about the job you did there. But it's clear by what you did for the rest of your life and success in business that, like, or I say it would appear clear that you took the academic side seriously. Was that always your approach to that?
You know, somehow I believe that injury had a lot to do with it, you know, because we're all going to play pro ball, right? We come to college. I don't need to study. I was that guy. But I think once I got into the business, I really got into it. Had a lot of good role models that were professors. And so lucky enough to land with a good company, Altel, that was very strong in this state. And I moved around with them, did whatever they needed. I was kind of like a punter for them. Whatever you need, put me in. And I'd move and I'd do this. And they took care of me. And, you know, that's why I'm able to sit here and talk about the foundation.
But you said your injury changed your approach to
it must have.
Off the field?
Something did. You can also grow up between 18 and 20 years old, too. Something. Maybe that did, too.
You know, you've had some amazing relationships during your time here, and I'm sure you could go on all day about that. And I know you're very close with our good friend Tim Allison, a former teammate of yours. But I think it's really neat how close you guys stayed with Coach Lacewell over the years. And you played most of your career for Coach Davidson, but your last season.
2-2.
Okay, so your last 2 years you played with Coach Lacewell.
Yeah.
But you stayed close with Coach Lacewell all the way till the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that probably had a lot to do with me getting on the centennial team. There were some punters at Arkansas State that were scratching their head going, okay, how's this happen? But Lacewell was on the committee. And he had a lot of influence of going, you know, he was a defensive coach. And he's like, this guy got us inside the five more than any other punter I had. And as a defensive guy like Lacewell, that was the most valuable player for him. So, you know, that's what I served Coach Lacewell. He was my head coach.
So you probably have a greater appreciation for most than some of the other, like a Kyle Richardson that came through here.
Yeah, that's one that I talked to.
And obviously, I mean, Cody Grace and the job he did here. I mean, he was, you have an even greater appreciation for those guys as weapons.
Cody, man, you look at Kyle's, you know, what a career. Cody, he was the best punter I've ever seen.
Really?
I've ever seen. Now, I've not been to a lot of games, but I'm saying I see him on TV or whatever. But his technique, his flexibility, his strength.
And he's built like a linebacker.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that the ball just explodes. And I'm surprised he's not in the NFL. I don't know. Don't understand that game, really.
Yeah, I think he got a bad break with the timing of when he graduated because it timed up with COVID. So,
yeah.
All right. So we talk about the past, but you're really connected to the present, not only in what you've given recently, but at the same time, I know you're getting ready as we record this to go watch the team in Michigan this weekend.
Yeah, right. Who knows what we're going to see? You know, who knows what Michigan has? Are they as bad as they looked last week? They got a
probably
lot of stuff.
Probably not.
They have a lot of stuff going on, but they still have big old trees up there on that line. Big Ten guys. So that's going to be interesting how we handle that.
It's fun to see an A-State team go and play in that kind of environment. What was your favorite environment that you played in?
You know, the year that we left, so the first year I was out was like 1980, and Lacy was getting them in to play Alabama and all those teams. But played Cincinnati, of course, that was not 75 years, so I was redshirted that year. That was a big game. Of course, we whipped everybody that year. But no, we liked those games like Tulsa. We got really excited about that. We're playing up just a little bit. And we didn't know what it was like to play Alabama. We didn't do that back then. But let me say that we know we have to have those money games. We know that. But I really like what Butch is doing. I'm a big fan of him. And personally, he's a good friend. So I have to say that. But I really like the direction. And on the foundation, we say whether it be baseball or golf, who knows what we're going to do next. But we're going to look at what is the biggest impact of this university.
Well, Joe, you're making a big impact through your Slayton Family Foundation, and thank you again for what you're doing. Thanks for coming in today, and let's go Red Wolves.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's good to see you again.
All right, that's Joe Slayton joining us here on the Second to None podcast. We've got more to come right after this.
Get huge savings now at every Cavanaugh dealership. Cavanaugh has a great selection of late model, low mileage, certified pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. And most are still under factory warranty. We have every make and every model, so you're sure to find the vehicle you want. And when you buy at Cavanaugh, every new and used purchase comes with 1 year of free maintenance. Plus, we buy cars. Bring a vehicle, get a check. Come see us today at one of our dealerships or go to CavanaughCars.com.
Red Wolf fans, this is DeMario Davis, proud Red Wolf and linebacker for the New Orleans Saints. And I'm asking you to help out our current A-State student athletes by donating to the Impact Club. This organization helps our program stay competitive and supports our players by facilitating NIL agreements that allow them to endorse local charities. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access you won't find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. Thank you and Wolves up.
And we welcome you back to the Second to None podcast presented by Cavanaugh Auto Group and by First National Bank, where they put you first always. Football off to a 2-0 start for the first time since 2008. We talked about what happened back in that 2008 season on this podcast last week, that start against A&M and then the following week against Texas Southern, and just how memorable that was. Thought it was a memorable win this past Saturday, the victory over Tulsa, coming back in the second half to win it 28-24. Interesting the way it played out. A-State, I thought early in the game, had a good drive, finished it off with the touchdown pass. Adam Jones, wide open.
Ball on the left hash, A-State first and five from the 35. Rainer going deep left side. Jones is wide open. He's in for the score. Adam Jones caught it at the 10. Takes it in for his first touchdown of the year. And A-State takes the lead with 4:45 remaining in the opening quarter.
But before we get past the first quarter, I thought the play of the game may have been with about 3 minutes to go in the first quarter, when Justin Parks saved what would have been a 37-yard touchdown. And he had actually missed the tackle about 5 yards before he tracked down the defender at the 1 yard line, forced the fumble, poked it through the end zone for a touchback, and all of a sudden we've got the ball at the 20 yard line. But we're filming the TV show Sunday morning, and I thought Coach Jones made the perfect comment. He said, "This is the perfect play to describe our culture and what we're trying to build here." And I think everybody who's been around the program the last 4 years knows what high regard Justin Parks is held in. And mm-hmm. he's certainly a leader on this team. But, man, he was phenomenal on the field the other night. He had a career-high 12 tackles. But that forced fumble, it was early in the game, but it may have saved the game. Saved a touchdown in what ultimately was a one-score win.
Not even just the difference it made to the score, but the difference it made to the momentum, potentially, because you certainly get into the second quarter and there didn't seem to be a whole lot of that, but it could have even been compounded by that touchdown he saves. Yeah, that was a big play for sure to stick with it and then turn disaster into opportunity.
Because it could have been a whole lot worse than 17-7 at the half, because that touchdown was taken away. And then late in the half, Tulsa's in our territory, and they've got plenty of time to go down and add on to a 17-7 lead. For some reason, they decide to take a deep shot on third and one, and we break up the pass. They end up punting when you thought, well, they're going to go down and get some points, or at least the way they're looking, they are. We're still able to take a 10-point lead into the locker room. Tulsa still gets the ball first in the second half, but the first 4 minutes of the third quarter is what changed the game, because three plays in, you get a takeaway.
Kirk Francis hit as he throws, and it's intercepted. Travion Thomas coming back across midfield down to the 48 of Tulsa. Thomas with the pick, and A-State will get it back off the Tulsa turnover.
And then three plays after that, the Red Wolves in the end zone. Jalen Rayner with a 15-yard touchdown run.
Three receivers, twins split out to the left. Rayner fakes the handoff, keeps it inside the 10, 5. Jalen Rayner in for the score from 15 yards out. And the Red Wolves are back to within a score with 12:40 remaining in the third.
Defense comes right back out. You hear it all the time. Complimentary football. That's what we saw. Defense gets a three and out. And then right after that, Tulsa punts, and it's the play of the game. Courtney Jackson able to make the house call.
Punt is away, high spiraling punt. Jackson has to sprint back for it. He'll return it from his own 22. Avoids one defender across the 25-30. Courtney runs left across the 35-40. Courtney across midfield. Jackson inside the 40, inside the 30, 20, 10. Courtney Jackson to the house. 78 yards on the go-ahead punt return for a score. And A-State has taken the lead with 10:53 remaining in the third.
After, right, uncharacteristic miscue for him earlier in the game.
Yeah.
You know, where he let a punt touch him and led to a turnover. So to redeem himself there. And, you know, Carla, the university photographer, got a phenomenal shot. I mean, it looks photoshopped, to be honest with you, how good that picture is of him getting into the end zone on that punt return.
We were recording the TV show the other day, and Jerry Scott asked Coach Jones during one of our breaks, "Have you seen that picture?" And he said, "I don't think so." And he looked at it and he's like, "Yeah, we need to put that up like on the walls."
Yeah, it's great. And hopefully you've seen it around social media, have not looked for it yet. Just phenomenal. And really, for just the way the crowd looks behind it, just a really, really great shot. And a good snapshot to remind us, and I know we'll talk about it as the game unfolds here, but just how good the crowd was.
And congratulations to Courtney. Monday, he was named Sunbelt Conference Special Teams Player of the Week. So we're two for two with the Special Teams Player of the Week awards. Kloon Van Andel had won after the UCA game, but Courtney Jackson wins it after the punt return for the score. We're up 21-17, and Tulsa comes right back. I mean, they score on the next drive, make it 24-21. And at that point, you're thinking, oh, it could turn into a shootout here in the second half. I mean, we could start going back and forth. Well, I love the way our offense responded, because after the Tulsa touchdown, the offense goes on a 14-play, 79-yard drive, took over 6 minutes off the clock, and it ends with a touchdown pass to Corey Rucker.
3:34 remaining third quarter. A-State third and goal from the five. Jalen Rayner throws it over the middle. Caught. Rucker into the end zone. Touchdown, Corey Rucker, and the Red Wolves take the lead back with 3.5 minutes remaining in the third quarter.
So at this point, it's 28-24. There's 3.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. That would be the last score of the game.
Because so go back and say all Corey Rucker does is catch game-winning touchdown.
That's right. 2 weeks in a row, a game-winning touchdown. But I thought the defense was phenomenal, especially in the second half. I mean, they really, really buckled down after Tulsa had scored that go-ahead touchdown. The defense shut them down the rest of the way, and the Red Wolves controlled the clock. Not only did they have that six-minute drive in the third, but they controlled the clock for nearly 12 minutes in the fourth quarter, and it seemed like it just eventually wore Tulsa down, and Red Wolves able to win 28-24, and it was neat to see after the game, Coach Jones, kind of like Corey Rucker did after the game against UCA, hop right there in the front row of the student section, and he was singing the fight song.
That was cool to see, and again, some of the photos I've seen of that. I enjoyed seeing the smile on Coach Jones's face in the student section, because sometimes I wonder if he enjoys winning as much as he should. And so to see that smile, he earned it. And I was glad to see him have that moment in the student section. And by the way, in the student section, that for the most part, even with the game over and the team coming over to sing the fight song, was still mostly full. The students were great. Again, they have been each of the first 2 weeks. And quite honestly, I'm sure you and I could sit here and pull out schedules and come up with the last time, but right off the top of my head, it's hard for me to really go straight to the last environment like that in that stadium. And I know the UCA crowd was a little bigger, and I know UCA had their band and they had some fans, but that crowd was into it.
Yeah.
Without being kind of not drug into it, kicking and screaming. They were engaged. They were into it. They were into it in the right times and the right ways, and it made a huge difference in this 2-0 start.
Yeah, just a fun night. Announced the crowd of a little over 19,000, but they made a difference.
Yep.
And it was really, really fun to be part of that atmosphere. And to be 2-0 is great. To be 2-0 at home is phenomenal. And, you know, you could say that 2 weeks in a row, and I know you've alluded to it not only here but on social media, that these were one-score games where the crowd made a legitimate impact. So,
and that's the home field advantage. We say it a lot of times. It's not what bed you sleep in, what jersey you wear. The home field advantage is getting to play in front of your people and knowing that, you know, when the game's on the line, they can maybe give you that edge. And I think now in the last two Saturday nights, we've seen that happen. And I know folks are already looking forward, and they got a little bit of a wait with two road games and an open week. But I think everybody, there's already a lot of hype for this team to get back for homecoming.
We'll take a look ahead to this week for the football team and see what else is happening in the world of A-State athletics when we come back to wrap things up on the Second to None podcast right after this.
At First National Bank, our mortgage lending team knows what it takes to make a home and a superior home loan process. Simple, proven, and reliable service with competitive rates at a bank that already feels like home. Since 1889, that's been the First National Bank way, because for our people, this is home. Apply online at fnbank.net/mortgage. From our family to yours. Welcome home. First National Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Coach Butch Jones, and we need you to help our A-State athletic programs by donating to the Impact Club. This is an organization that is making a real difference in the lives of our student athletes. Make a monthly commitment and get access to team newsletters, special gear, and exclusive access that you will not find anywhere else. Find out more and give today at ImpactClub.com. That's Impact spelled ImpactClub.com. Your support is greatly appreciated and is helping our programs right now. Wolves up.
Wrapping things up here on the Second to None podcast presented by First National Bank and by Cavanaugh Auto Group. You can check out Cavanaugh's entire selection of new and pre-owned vehicles at CavanaughCars.com. Another good week for Coach Gerwig and the volleyball team. They take 2 out of 3 at the Blue Raider Bash in Murfreesboro. They lost to Lehigh on Friday, but bounced back, beat Austin Peay in 4 sets on Saturday, and then swept Middle Tennessee on Sunday.
Even that Lehigh match, even though it was a 4-set match, go look at the scores. I mean, everything was 25-21, 25-23. I mean, you know, all 4 of those sets were just like a point or 2 away from going a different direction. So that was a good competitive match. And then, yeah, to get the next 2, including sweeping those Blue Raiders right on the heels.
That's still a good feeling when we beat those guys.
Sure is. Just to remind them.
Yeah, Caleb Garner had sent me the note, look, we're 4 points away from being undefeated because they lost 25-23 in both the 1st and 4th sets to Lehigh. So some really close sets, a close match in the 1 loss over the weekend, but they're still 5-1 to start the season. 3rd straight year they started the season 5-1. Our buddy Sarah Martinez, by the way, currently leading the Sun Belt. She's 12th in the nation in digs. And Sarah and the volleyball team will be in Florence, Alabama at the UNA Volleyball Classic. That's coming up Friday and Saturday. They'll take on North Alabama Friday at 10. Jacksonville State Friday at 4. And then they'll play Saturday at noon. As didn't write down who they're playing Saturday at noon, but they play Saturday at noon as well.
Well, that matchup, you know, North Alabama's the host. They came to our home event to open last season. A lot of A-State fans probably know Tristan Johnson as the head coach at North Alabama, who was David Rare's assistant here. And then when Tristan left Arkansas State is when Brian Gerwig came. So they are both part of the David Rare coaching tree. And like I said, North Alabama came here last year, and now A-State's going to Florence to play in their event. That match between those two teams Friday morning will be on ESPN+.
UAB is who they're playing Saturday at noon. So that'll wrap up the 3 matches coming up this weekend. Good luck to volleyball. Meanwhile, soccer with another solid week. They hosted Kansas State this past Thursday. We had talked about that match quite a bit going in. Neat to have a Big 12 team in town. And it ended in a scoreless tie. So that's the 2nd tie of the season for the soccer team.
Yeah, I would. Obviously, I'm not the world's biggest soccer aficionado, but one of those times, like, we had a shot on goal at 1 point in the 2nd half that their goalkeeper made the save on, but it knocked the breath out of her. And I think that should count for something.
She made the
save. She made the save, but they had to delay the game a second because she had knocked the wind out of herself. It was a rocket, and that was an entertaining match. You know, just going toe to toe with a team from one of the autonomy leagues, and then for as fun as it is, we thought it's still fun to go beat Middle Tennessee and Murfreesboro and something. I'm not sure. What soccer did on Sunday is not even more enjoyable.
Yeah, the Red Wolves going to Western Kentucky on Sunday and defeating the Hilltoppers 2-1. I liked what you said on social media afterwards that brought back some good vibes going on the road to both Middle and Western Sunday and getting wins.
Yeah, like back in the day.
Can I just say, I still miss having them in the league.
I do, too.
Because they were short trips, they were good rivalries, and that was one thing I enjoyed. I mean, our fans could get to Middle Tennessee in a little over 4 hours, 4.5 to 5 hours to Western, and we just don't have many of those trips outside of Monroe, and next closest anymore is Southern Miss at 5.5 hours.
And it's not even just that they're not in the league anymore, but there haven't been many chances to compete against those guys, even in non-conference play, in much of anything since then. And I would say this, best I can tell, it's not due to a lack of asking.
Okay.
And checking to see if they wanted to play in different things.
Just not doing it.
It just hasn't happened much. So glad to see soccer and volleyball cash in on those opportunities over the weekend.
Again, soccer now 3-1-2 on the season. This week, they're going to be back home on Thursday, resuming the suspended match against UCA from August 29th. You remember A-State was leading 2-0 in that game when it was suspended by Lightning. That match with UCA will start at 5:30 on Thursday, and always neat when you get to start playing, and you already got a 2-0
You're already
lead.
Up 2-0, yeah, I hope. You know, not a great forecast Thursday with the tropical depression or whatever, the hurricane, what'd be left of it. I hope it gives a window to get this match in, because we learned last year in the match that ended up getting called because of heat, it's not deep enough to be official yet. So we need to play some more soccer. Hopefully they'll get a chance to Thursday afternoon.
Excited for Sujay Lama and the tennis team. They get to open up the fall portion of their schedule this week. They'll be competing at the Belmont Lipscomb Invite. That's Friday through Sunday in Nashville. And as we record this, the golf teams, and we talked about this last week, they're opening up their fall seasons by competing at the Golf Week Fall Challenge. That's at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. And at the time of our recording this,
I'll give you, for people to really get a sense of when we're recording this, second round is complete.
Okay.
As we speak, after two rounds, the men's team has a 7-stroke lead over Wright State.
That's out of 15 teams.
Yes. So they're leading that field. And then in the second round in women's play, A-State had the second best round of the day in round two and moved up two places to seventh. And they're just 2 strokes out of a tie for fifth right now going into round three.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what's really impressive.
18 teams on the women's side.
About the men's, you know, you look at round one, they were leading that tournament, and Thomas Schmidt, the reigning Sunbelt Conference Golfer of the Year, was our fourth score.
Oh, my gosh.
In round one.
Thomas, former guest of the podcast.
So if you're going leading tournaments and the player of the year is your number four score, then you're having a pretty good day more times than not.
And as we close things out, I do want to mention what we got coming up on Saturday. Football team going to the Big House, taking on Michigan Saturday, kickoff at 11. Our coverage begins at 9 on the radio side, and you can also see that game on the Big Ten Network, but 107,000-plus. There's a lot of storylines going in. Obviously, it's nice to be going up to Ann Arbor already with the 2-0 record in your pocket, but it's a homecoming for Coach Jones, and he's a Michigan native.
Yep.
And I was talking with him Sunday after we got finished recording the TV show. I said, how many people have asked you for tickets? He said, well, I've already got about 50 requests. And he's good friends with the university president at Michigan, who used to be at Cincinnati with him. But, you know, we've got several players from Michigan as well. Char Willekes, Marvin Ham, Ryan Hiker, our new punter, all Michigan guys. But I think there's a lot of good storylines going into this week, and I think we're all really curious to see how our guys compete.
You mentioned it's a homecoming. It literally is homecoming at Michigan Saturday.
That's right.
In the third week of the season, which seems a little different. But, yeah, homecoming in the Big House. You know, this game was supposed to happen in 2020 and didn't because of COVID. And, you know, the Big Ten didn't play non-conference games in 2020. So this is where it landed 4 years later. Who knew they'd be the reigning national champions at the time this game rolled around. But, yeah, great opportunity to play at one of college football's, you know, great venues. Second best fight song in the country.
You give them number two, huh?
I do. They use Green County Tech's fight song, The Victors.
Hail to the Victors.
That's the Green County Tech fight song that somewhere along the way they decided to let Michigan borrow.
Yeah, nice of them.
So it is number two behind
imitation is the most sincerest form of flattery.
Victory song or loyalty song, as it's officially called at our place, the loyalty song.
All right, anything else we need to talk about here?
No, just, again, they thank everybody was with us these last two Saturdays. It's really cool to kind of feel like that part's, you know, turning a corner along with kind of the football program. Saturday was just a lot of fun. And for, you know, I kind of came in here last week and we talked about some of the stuff that didn't go right. But, you know, I would say this week, none of that was true. Everything on our end kind of went well and according to plan. And when stuff's going according to plan, then the fans are as good as they are and the crowd's as good as it was, it makes for a special night. And that would have been true. Everything I just said would have been true had Arkansas State not found a way to win the football game. And what's even better is that happened as well. So it goes from being kind of a good night to just a really special one. And you go 3 weekends without one here to get rested up and ready to get back on campus for homecoming.
It's been a fun episode. Thanks again to Joe Slayton coming in and joining us. Really enjoyed that visit. For everyone that's been a part of this one, for Brad, I'm Matt. Have a great week, everybody.